From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's election 2012, and the whole world's watching. We are here with Scared Monkeys Radio, and one of the top bananas of Scared Monkeys, Red. How are you, sir?
I'm great tonight, Dana. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on now? We're watching the election. Of course, I'm a right-winger up here in Canada, so of course I have Fox News on. 14 states, the polls will close here in about, just now. The electoral votes, 88 for Romney, 78 for Barack Obama. The popular vote, I'm going to ask you that question to explain that, because Romney is way ahead. What's going on? What are your predictions as we go through the evening?
Well, actually, a revision to that electoral vote. Right now, it's Romney 149, Obama 127. Mm-hmm. And so far tonight, I mean, every state has pretty much gone the way every state that's been called has pretty much been predicted. We've all thought, you know, obviously Obama was going to win New England.
Yes.
New Hampshire's still up for grabs. Romney was obviously going to win the South. But right now, as we've been watching the polls for, my God, what it seems like years now, they were all tight going into the final days, and it's really going to be a matter of those swing states of Florida, Ohio, Virginia, Wisconsin, and right now everything is too close to call.
Red's here from Scared Monkeys, and the refresh button is amazing. I know your computer's on life support, but it's now Mitt Romney 154, Obama 123, as far as the Fox News is reporting. Let's talk about the popular vote compared to this Electoral College and explain it to this dumb Canadian. Usually the person with the most votes wins, but not in your country.
Well, I mean, Dana, you could never do it that way in the United States. I mean, you'd have states that were high population
right.
states like New York and California. And instead of, well, sadly, instead of Obama and Romney being in all these different swing states, the 6 to 10, 12 swing states that they wound up being in kind of ignored the rest of the country, they would probably just be in New York, Massachusetts, California, and Texas and Florida. And all you'd have to do, small states would just be completely wiped out of the mix at that point, and thus the reason why, you know, you come up with the electoral college. Some people like it, some people don't. We're not a pure democracy here, so you know, it works so far, but it's going to be interesting tonight. I mean, you don't know whether, you know, we've been, you know, a lot of people have been saying, you know, we don't know whether we're going to see somebody win the popular vote, lose the Electoral College. You know, it happened when George Bush ran against Al Gore.
Right.
So it could happen again tonight, but right now everything is so close, nobody knows at this point.
What about Ohio? Ohio is scaring me a little bit. There's so much emphasis put on it through the media that you have to have Ohio to win. Can Mitt Romney win without Ohio?
There are alternate paths that Mitt Romney could win. He could in turn pick up Wisconsin, Colorado. There are ways to make up for it, but of course they say no Republican president's ever won without, well, in recent times since, you know, without Ohio. But that being said, Ohio has been losing electoral votes over the years because people have been migrating out of the state. And you lose population, well, you lose representation, thus you lose electoral votes. And so it's not as many as it used to be, but is it a key state? Obviously it is. That's why the candidates were there so often.
What about the campaign itself? Red from Scared Monkeys is here. Benghazi. Did Romney, if he loses, is that his bugaboo? He should have brought that up more. He should have gone after Obama about it.
I mean, would I have? Certainly. I think it's a cry and shame, and I think it's criminal that the mainstream media has not covered the story. I mean, obviously Fox has, obviously a little bit out of CBS. Other than that, nothing. I mean, it's gone so far as even during a debate, we have a moderator who actually goes and defends Barack Obama by saying that he said something during his speech following it the following day that he had brought up terrorism. We've had these conversations over the years, Dana, about, you know, mainstream media bias. And, you know, not only that, but why do they cover certain things and not others? I think what we're seeing in this election cycle is the biggest and most pathetic bunch of cheerleading that's ever probably happened. And it's the biggest disgrace I think I've ever seen in my life.
How about the vice presidential candidates? Biden, I think he should have his own show on TLC, you know, with all the crocodile hunters and the guys, the honey boo-boos and all that. He'd fit right in there with that. But what about Paul Ryan? Did he kind of disappear off the map for a while?
Unfortunately, he did. Paul Ryan is brilliant. He's the superstar for the Republican Party in the House. He's the budget guy. He's the number cruncher. And for whatever reason, and Romney ran I would almost say too soft a campaign. Yeah. He didn't want to make waves, which I understand why he didn't want to do that. I mean, there's two rules of thumb here. I mean, tonight we do not know whether he did the right thing or did the wrong thing. And it's only going to be a small percentage of votes that's either going to have an avalanche come down on him negatively or everyone praising him for what he did. But the sad part about this is, which has never been brought up during any of the campaigning, they criticized the living hell out of Sarah Palin. Yep. When she ran the last time as John McCain's VP. Good God with Joe Biden. This man is a heartbeat away from the presidency, and he's a lunatic.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I cannot, for the life of me, if that guy was a Republican, could you imagine the jokes, the comments, the stuff that would be said that this guy wasn't fit for office? He would have been laughed off the ticket if he was running on a Republican ticket. And this guy, I mean, we always hear, the guy's a heartbeat away from the presidency. This joke, of which everybody just likes to laugh off and say, oh, well, that's just Joe being Joe, that's the guy who's a heartbeat away from the presidency? Seriously?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. Red's here from scaredmonkeys.com. A little later on, we'll have the Gateway Pundit, and Mike McIntyre will be here to talk. Let's talk about guys like the Gateway Pundit, Red, and, of course, the good work that you and the others do at Scared Monkeys. How about comparing, and I know we do it all the time, the mainstream media to the blogosphere, and I know that's, you know, maybe not a current term, but what I like to call main street media as far as the coverage goes. Where have the people got the real truth?
I mean, Jim Hoff's the Gateway Pundit coming on later. I've known him for years. I met him, my God, it has to be maybe 7 years now. Back when we were all just first starting out in this thing called the blogosphere, and he has done an amazing. What he's done is just truly amazing. He is at the top of his game on the political side of blogging. He's in touch with everything. I mean, he now does a lot of stuff with Breitbart.com, you know, with the dearly departed Andrew Breitbart. It's gotten to the point, Dana, where I truly believe we have to do something to take the message back. It is obvious the media is never going to do the work. this thing with Benghazi is Watergate. It's worse than Watergate because people died. We have a president who has lied to the American people and refuses to answer questions to the American people prior to an election. We have a media who doesn't bother to ask the questions of the... Could you imagine, I mean, seriously, if that happened under a Republican administration, every day the media would have been pounding questions. People died. On and on and on. And what winds up happening is that the new media, those of us on the internet, those of us who actually want to investigate things, I mean, you know, I mean, I know you do tons of work, obviously investigative, as a police officer doing stuff with crime, obviously our other websites with Blink doing the investigation of crimes. The same thing almost has to be done with everyday news, because our media in the United States has totally gone off the wall. They're totally left-wing. They don't even want to cover stories anymore that would dare do damage to any... And why is there a First Amendment right of free speech if they're not going to use it?
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to wonder, what is the point anymore? If you can... I used to jokingly say, wow, these guys would let Obama get away with murder. I was joking when I said it. Little did I realize they would.
Yeah, for sure. Red's here from ScaredMonkeys.com. And just an update, let's hit the refresh button. So far, Mitt Romney is leading with 154 electoral votes to Obama's 123. What do you think, Red? Are we looking at a long night? Is this something that's going to be called in the next hour or so, or... Where do you think this is going to go?
Well, from what I heard, they had kept the line in Virginia. They anybody who was in line, they are going to let them stay in line and vote, even though the polls closed, I believe that was 7 o'clock. And there are tons of people in line there in certain counties that are going to have to go through the process of the vote. If this thing winds up being as close as it is, because all I see is none of the percentages changing, just few votes, we may actually have Floridas all over the place this year. I mean, we're not going to have hanging chads, but we might have to have recounts, because if it is as close as what they're proclaiming it to be, by law in many states, you've got to do a recount if it's under if it's at a certain percentage, and you know whoever loses is going to, you know, bring out the attorneys. We were hoping that it wouldn't be this, you know, that it wouldn't be this close, but by the same token, you know, we are in one of those states, like I said, with the Electoral College, all you need to do is win it by a percent, and you get everything. So you literally could have somebody win every state by 1%, and they wind up with every electoral vote, and that's what's going to push them, you know, for enough to win the presidency.
Virginia, you make a good point, is 13 votes, and as of 7 p.m. Eastern when it closed, 41% of the precincts reporting Obama has 45% of the vote to Romney's 54%, but... like you say, they haven't called that. And Ohio, again, everyone talking about Ohio, is 30% cast, Obama 55%, and Romney 44%. But they're saying a lot of those Ohio votes are some of the early votes that were cast before. Red from ScaredMonkeys.com is here a little bit later. The Gateway Pundit will be here, and after that, Mike McIntyre. What about the world? And I know you did some posts on Scared Monkeys were comical to see that the Russians were in support of Obama 60% and Chinese 60% of them were cheering for Obama. We all know the famous video, Obama got caught talking to the Russian president or whatever they call him, saying, just wait till I'm elected and, you know, and I'll sit down and kiss your butt some more. What about that? How about the world's view of what's going on now?
Don't forget the French.
Oh, yeah.
The French were for Obama, too.
Yeah, the French,
and,
too.
And Hugo Chavez.
Oh, yeah, you can't beat Hugo. Yeah.
He was all in for Obama, too.
Yeah.
And I think a couple terrorists were as well. What does that tell you? I mean, seriously. The idea that somebody on an open mic who didn't know the mic was open makes a comment like that just wait till after the election to a Russian. I mean, that should frighten the living daylights out of everybody. And it's not just that. It's how he's handled Israel. It's how he's, I mean, he's forgotten who our allies are and who our enemies are. And for people who just think that foreign policy is based upon whether you kill bin Laden or not, it's hardly the case. That's about the only thing he has done right that has to do with foreign policy. And a lot of that came from aid from what happened during the Bush administration with information that was gleaned at that point. But when you look at it, you've got the Middle East on fire. You've got Russia getting cocky as hell. You've got an out-of-control Iran. And you've got a president who, I don't know, likes to give stuff away to people in order to get votes.
Yeah.
I mean, people either, I mean, I hate to say it, I mean, either people are going to be engaged and they're going to inform themselves as to what somebody is about, because it's a little frightening that, I mean, I can understand what happened the last time around with quote-unquote hope and change and Obama and electing the first black president and yada, yada, yada. I get it. But we've witnessed 4 years of misery, 4 years of an unemployment rate that's greater than when he started. We've got 43 million people on food stamps. He touts these 5 million jobs he's created. Well, there's more people, for every person that got a job, there's like 6 or 7 people that are on food stamps. We've got just out of control. People are now doing disabilities in this country because they've run out of options, that they've ran out of unemployment. Everybody in this country knows that the unemployment is in double digits. People can't get a job. They have to settle for part-time jobs. People who want a second job can't find a second job because their first job doesn't make as money as the job they lost. And all of these things go on and on. But yet, those that don't pay taxes, those that basically make money off of the fact that they're unemployed, get stuff from Obama, they seem to be canceling out a lot of the votes of the people who actually do the hard work in this country. And it's a crying shame. It really is that people do not really stay focused on what's going on. And what it really, what some of the stuff seems to be, that Romney was on such a roll. He was at 5 points ahead, Gallup, Rasmussen, and then the October surprise hit. Hurricane Sandy.
Yep. And that's a crying shame, that's for sure. Now, before I let you go, Red, from Scared Monkeys, what will the headline be on scaredmonkeys.com? Have you got two written?
I'm hoping I have something to be putting on there because of the computer going down.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm eternal hopeful. I've got one right now. And I really don't know what it's going to be, what it's going to say with if it happens to be the other way. I really don't like to. I don't like to think about the loss. I try to stay positive. I think I have faith in people to do the right thing. And sorry, I don't vote for revenge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wasn't
I'm not that something. Kind of a. I'm not that kind of a person. I'm a positive person, and somehow or another, we have to find a way to pull this out. If it doesn't happen, I can't even think about the consequences, because I do a lot of work in healthcare, and I told a lot of people 4 years ago, please don't do that vote, because you'll probably lose your job, even though you want to do it. Don't you know, out of the 10 people that I was having that conversation with, 7 of them lost their job.
Well, it's going to be an interesting and I think a long night for all your information on the election. Stay tuned to scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks, Red.
Thank you, Dana. Positive thoughts tonight.
You bet.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Red from scaredmonkeys.com. And as of, where are we, 9:20 p.m. Eastern, out of 270 electoral votes, Mitt Romney has 154, Barack Obama 143, with still states having to come forward, Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, let's see, Florida, and Georgia, Hawaii. No, Georgia's already been chosen. Hawaii, Idaho, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire. Anyway, there's lots to come forward here yet. You are listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute or two with the Gateway Pundit and some more political observations here on Election 2012. Hey, we're back. This is our continuing coverage of Election 2012. The Gateway Pundit is here, one of the most important blogs on the Internet as far as politics and current events go. Jim, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you.
Big day today. I want to start just before we get into your thoughts. We're recording this a little bit early, but the polls have not closed. But it looks like the Black Panthers are back in Philadelphia. Let's talk about that.
That's right. Back in 2008, and many of your listeners remember this, the Black Panthers were outside of a polling station in Philadelphia, and they were intimidating voters who were going inside. And, of course, Eric Holder let this all go. He didn't prosecute anyone for this. But today they were back at it. So there were some pictures and video. I had a Drudge link on this earlier of the Black Panthers in front of the 14th Ward. They're back there again today, and so we'll see what happens. Pennsylvania is, of course, a very tight race right now, and so there are several Republicans working in the state, and hopefully they'll stay on top of some of the shenanigans that are going on.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of shenanigans. Jim, the Gateway Pundit's here. As far as close race goes, that's what all the commentators have been saying for quite some time now. Your thoughts on where this whole thing will end up?
You know, we are recording this a little bit early before the results come in, but I have felt all along that Mitt Romney, after that first debate, he certainly turned this election around. He let the American people know that that he was an honest, he was level-headed, professional, and his ideas made a lot of sense. And so and Obama, of course, was himself. And so he immediately jumped ahead in the race. There was a little pause during the hurricane. And, of course, we're seeing that the media today is not reporting Hurricane Sandy the way they did Hurricane Katrina when they tried to destroy George Bush.
Right.
And it was nonstop coverage. Today, we're not seeing that from Sandy, even though the devastation is just as much or greater in some of these areas. So that has helped Barack Obama. But I think the last couple of days, Mitt Romney has really had a strong close. He took that comment of Barack Obama talking about revenge of all things. I mean, this is our commander-in-chief talking about revenge against American people. And Mitt Romney took that comment. He turned it around into the love of the country. I think, and I have felt this way all along, if you look at the polls, they're not accurate about the turnout today. they're saying that Democrats are going to turn out in the same numbers they did in 2008, which is impossible.
Right.
And I believe it's going to be a landslide win for Mitt Romney. I believe that so many Republicans are going to be out voting today that they would swim through a swamp of crocodiles to get to that polling station because of some of the devastation that they've seen the past few years, because of Obama's policies, which make no sense and have failed, and because they're really afraid of the future, and because they're starting to really like Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. So I think it's going to be a big win for Mitt Romney tonight, I'd say, and we'll see how this plays out. But I'm saying at least 4 points and around 300 electoral votes.
Jim, the Gateway Pundits here. What about Benghazi? The criticism of Romney was that he never took it and ran with it. The criticism of the mainstream media is that they never took it and ran with it. Will it be that big of an issue?
You know what? I think it's going to be huge with veterans and with the military. And I posted a couple things this week. Two different senators, one Pat Roberts from Kansas, and the other one was John McCain, who said that they're, and these are big military guys, Pat Roberts was a Marine, and they both said that veterans are coming up to them and they are outraged. It's all they want to talk about is the fact that Barack Obama left these men to die and didn't take any action during that whole 7-hour assault on our consulate and the consulate annex. And so I think this will really motivate a lot of veterans and motivate a lot of military people. I've even heard some political leaders say that the military does not trust Barack Obama as commander-in-chief. And you know what? I don't blame them.
One of your featured stories on thegatewaypundit.com is that the Obama administration have been having secret meetings with Iran. Let's talk about that a little bit. That's something else that never came out but is very important.
Right, and thank you. You know, I think that's a reason, too, that blogs and, internet radio, and, you know, I've known Red for a long time, from way back in 2005. I think we met at some conference, so we go way back. But I think it's a reason that we're having such a huge impact today is because the media refuses to report on some of these stories, and this is just a great example of that. The Obama administration, according to the Israeli news website, Ynet News, the Obama administration has been meeting with representatives from the Iranian regime, and this is Valerie Jarrett, who was actually born in Iran. She's Barack Obama's top advisor,
right,
has been meeting secretly with the Iranians. And what is shocking about this is, as you read further down in the article, the Israelis, our closest ally in the region, did not know anything about this. So once again, Barack Obama is endangering our closest ally there, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Jewish vote comes in this year, because Barack Obama has no regard for Israel. It's been very obvious. He says one thing, does something completely the opposite, and my fear is if Barack Obama would be elected, God help us, but especially God help Israel, because they will be completely on their own.
Jim, the Gateway Pundits here. Last question before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. How soon do you think this whole thing will be called? We're not looking at another hanging Chad issue and recounts and all that craziness.
Well, you know what? We'll know early. If Florida, the states, of course, to watch, Florida, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, if those states all fall in the Romney column, then we'll know pretty early that this race is over. But those are the states to watch. So I suspect that we will probably know around 10, maybe 11 o'clock, how this all plays out.
Well, it's interesting for sure. The Gateway Pundit, where hope finally made a comeback. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a great day, and hopefully this will be a great new period for America.
Take care, sir.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, and the Gateway Pundit may not be totally accurate as of, where are we, 9:30 Eastern, Mitt Romney with 154 electoral votes, Obama Just had a big win and is up at 153. Romney losing in Ohio. Florida, he's just a little bit ahead. And California hasn't even closed yet. So it's going to be a lot closer, and it's going to take a lot longer, in my opinion, before any of this gets decided. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Okay, we're back. You all know Mike McIntyre as a syndicated columnist, a radio show host. He hosts the wildly popular Crime and Punishment radio show on Ralco and Chorus Radio Networks, especially when I'm a guest on it. And he's the author of 5 Canadian true crime books. Of course, he's a crime reporter for the Winnipeg Free Press. And he's here today, believe it or not, I'm going to ask him questions about the American election. And he's going to think, what the hell does that have to do with Crime and Punishment? But I'll get to that. Now, people have been talking, Mike, about Romney and Obama, but nobody's talking about Roseanne Barr and her chances of being president. What do you think of that?
Has she put her hat in the ring?
Oh, absolutely.
I would love a Trump Roseanne sort of ticket.
Yeah.
Would they work together or against each other? I'm not sure.
Well, they've got the same kind of hair, that's for sure.
They do, actually, doesn't Trump, or who is it that Trump hates, the celebrity? Is it Roseanne
Rosie.
Everybody? I don't know.
Rosie. He hates Rosie.
He hates Rosie. Okay, so they wouldn't run on the same ticket, but maybe like Trump versus Rosie. I mean, that could be some good television. The debates would be interesting, that's for sure.
It's interesting. You know, we're doing this on the American election night, and right now it's going crazy in the States. The Black Panthers are back in Philadelphia. There's a story about a guy dressed in a gorilla suit being allowed to vote, and that's the United States. But
they do it up big, that's for sure. It's really an event. I've already seen the what was the story out of Pennsylvania that at one polling booth, apparently, and I don't know how this would even happen, but somehow people who were voting for Obama today, that the machine was actually recording them as votes for Romney.
Yeah,
this could be the modern equivalent of the hanging Chad. Yeah. I just hope, Dana, that the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have to decide the election this year, but you look at the polls, and it's supposed to be, you know, very, very close. It should make for some compelling watching anyways, but as I said, I hope the courts don't. I hope the American people decide on the next president and not the court system.
That's the way it should be. Mike McIntyre's here. But the reason I brought you on is everything from Omar Khadr to border security to the fact that we have a conservative government up here and the chances of having a conservative president in the United States. How important to Canada is this election?
Well, I think certainly, you know, when you look at Mitt Romney's kind of platform of what he's run on, and you know, it's kind of the devil you know versus the devil you don't, if you will. And I think there's obviously a familiarity with the Obama administration here in Canada, having had 4 years of what I would deem relatively good relations. I mean, it's not like Canada and the U.S. Really don't ever have decent relations, but I think that there has been a feeling here in Canada, and I get the sense, Dana, that there's a ton of interest up here in Canada about the U.S. election. In fact, there might be more interest in the U.S. election than there is in our own election these days. You look at your Twitter feeds and whatnot, and it's just filled with people, you know, speculating what's going to happen. Obviously, Romney brings a lot of question marks to him, and I think depending on which side of the political platform you stand, I mean, some think that's a good thing, and they like what Romney might be able to bring. Where that puts Canada, I mean, I suppose remains to be seen. There's a lot of people who don't believe Romney has the political chops, that he's a chronic flip-flopper and he'll say anything to get elected. And so I suppose from a Canadian standpoint, I mean, you're going to be paying close attention to the result, because whoever is president after this election, Canada is going to have to work closely with. And I think, you know, we have a reputation, and maybe deserve it. So is we kind of get along with everybody. So I think at the end of the day, Canada will work with whoever is president. But obviously two very different individuals, two very different platforms, one that is a little more known. And these are these are, you know, difficult times. There's a lot of instability still out there in the world. Canada's role in it is obviously not as prominent as, say, the U.S., but as their closest neighbor, I mean, we tend to get lumped in with the with our American friends. And so I think a lot of U.S. policy almost by default becomes Canadian policy. So I think there's a lot of people watching this one closely.
Absolutely. Mike and I are recording this in the afternoon, so maybe the results are out already. We'll have to wait and see. But it's interesting, Mike, even to compare justice systems in the United States to ours, you talk about the states overcrowding in jails, the mandatory minimum sentencing that they have down there, tough on crime legislation, so to speak, where Canada is perceived as being weak. However, with the conservative government, we're pushing towards more people in jail, more mandatory minimums. Let's compare the two justice systems, the states and Canada.
Well, and unfortunately, I think we're starting to see some of the issues creep into our system that have plagued the U.S. system. When you talk about prisons being overcrowded and what that might mean, for instance, I just covered a case the other day out of Alberta where a very serious sexual assault allegation was dropped by prosecutors because of how long it took to get the case to court, because of administrative delays, because of a lack of resources, because of things like overcrowding. And, you know, I think you're seeing that on both sides of the border these days, the delays and the time it's taking to get cases to court is often unacceptable. But clearly, there is a wide disparity when it comes to sentencing. Dan, I'm looking at a story today that made my jaw drop. A man who stole lobsters from a grocery store in Pennsylvania is looking at a 25-year prison sentence. And he was stealing the lobsters, by the way, so he could sell them to support his drug habit. Now, here in Canada, we'd probably all chuckle at that story, and then we'd watch the guy, you know, maybe get a few months or something like that. In the U.S., they're talking about a 25-year sentence for this guy. And you know, there's a case, a classic case that underlines the huge differences in how we treat offenders. Whereas in Canada, you know, you got a guy who's got a drug habit and who's committing crime to support it. We don't look at him in Canada so much as a criminal as we do as somebody who needs help. And a sentence is often designed to rehabilitate or to assist the offender. In the U.S., the emphasis on punishment is obviously take center stage, and as a result, you see some numbers that are eye-opening. You know, I think there's a lot of Canadians that envy the U.S. system and wish that we could be more like them and dish out the kind of justice. I'm not sure we need to start putting lobster thieves behind bars for a quarter of a century. I would certainly be in favor, and I think there's a real push in Canada, to start punishing sexual offenders, specifically child sex offenders, like they do in the States. That's a crime, Dana, and because of several high-profile incidents they've had, they don't mess around. I mean, you abuse a child. I believe Florida now has actually added it to, it can be a punishable by death. Not even the death of a child, just child sex assaults. So, you know, they tend to treat that with a much heavier hand than we do, and I think a lot of Canadians wish that we'd go that way.
Mike McIntyre is here. Last question. Once everything's done, a new president, whoever it may be, Romney, Obama, it doesn't really matter. When it comes to Canada and the United States and what we do as far as justice, Omar Khadr, for example, the so-called terrorist has spent all that time in Gitmo back in Canada now.
Right.
One thing that the Americans are worried about is that we're going to let him go, and he'll be wandering the streets. Will you see Canada being tougher on crime?
I think we are seeing it already, and I think we're going to continue to see it for sure. Our conservative government in Canada does have that sort of tough on crime viewpoint or blueprint in their party, and I think you're seeing the introduction of tougher legislation. In fact, there's just a bill introduced in Canada last week aimed at youth offenders, and it actually has some very interesting parts of the bill, Dana, one of which is that we could actually start naming youth offenders even when they're not sentenced as adults, and that's something that I think a lot of Canadians would support, because this sort of hiding behind anonymity really gets people upset. So, yeah, I think you're already seeing here in Canada our Conservative government sort of maybe following the lead a little bit of their U.S. Neighbors. I don't think we're ever going to get as radical as they are in the States with sentencing. For instance, I don't think we're ever going to see the death penalty revisited. You look at the U.S., and in fact, more states than not seem to be actually going the way of Canada, which is to abolish it or certainly to reduce it. But yeah, I think, you know, there's a feeling in this country that for too long, we've coddled violent criminals, and there still will be a place for rehabilitation, but I think at the end of the day, you've still got to punish those who deserve to be punished.
The Crime and Punishment Radio Show on Sunday nights on Rocco and Chorus Radio Networks. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dana. Take care.
See you, buddy. Bye. And that's Mike McIntyre with a Canadian perspective. And we're going to end the show here pretty soon. It's, 9:46 p.m. Eastern. I don't think this puppy's going to be done anytime soon. So if you're watching the show after the fact on Channel 7 or listening to the podcast, of course, right now it's a dead heat. 153 electoral votes each, with the big states like California, Idaho, or Ohio, and Florida yet to be decided. Although Romney is losing in Ohio, it's not going to be decided anytime soon. Although the popular vote, he is up around a million votes. So it's going to be an interesting call to see what happens. Listen, I want to thank Red at Scared Monkeys and the Gateway Pundit, Mike McIntyre, and of course all of you for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to do this program, and in this case, to give you a little insight on American politics. We'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.